to us. And I want to mention now, so that I don't forget, Pastor's always great to send us a copy of the prayer cards that you circulate and you initial. And that's a blessing to see that people are praying for us and have prayed for us. You may not realize the magnitude of that, but it's huge. It's big. So thank you so very much for your prayers. If I can get one of the men to help me this morning. I have a handout for you, and so it's not an outline. It is not take notes, but it's, and you might need to share. So if you have a neighbor next to you, you could share. That would be great. I think we have about 18 or so of those. That would be awesome. In your Bible this morning, you find the book of Romans, and I'll give you some more guidance in just a moment. The book of Romans. I have an introduction with the handout. Didn't know it was going to be an art lesson today, did you? You guys didn't hear. Pastor said, I hope you do. Just long enough for everyone to be able to lay their eyes on the handout or the example there. And if there's make sure the guys in the sound booth get one too, so they know what we're talking about this morning. How many of you recognize this? How many of you can identify her? How many of you know her last name? No. How many of you know her last name? Okay. I want to ask you just to take a good look at the picture, okay? We know her as the Mona Lisa, right? That's pretty recognizable. I mean, this is probably the most famous piece of artwork that there might be in the world. People recognize it. They know immediately the title of this particular piece of artwork. They know her as the what? Say it. The Mona Lisa. Now give me just a moment. I want to read to you a little bit about this particular piece of art. The Mona Lisa. Italian artist. Does anyone know who the artist was? Leonardo da Vinci. Yeah. It's considered an archetypal masterpiece of the Italian Renaissance. It's been described as, quote, the best known, most visited, the most written about, the most sung about, the most parodied work of art in the world, end quote. The painting's novel qualities include the subject's enigmatic expression, if you know what that means, because I don't, the monumentality of the composition, the subtle remodeling of forms, and the atmospheric illusionism. But again, do you know her last name? This piece of art is depicting the Italian noblewoman, Lisa Gagliardini. She's the wife of Francesco del Giocondo. It was painted on a white lobendary poplar panel. Leonardo never gave the painting to the Giocondo family. And later it's believed he left it in his will to his favored apprentice, Salai. It had been believed to have been painted between 1503 and 1506. However, Leonardo may have continued working on it as late as 1517. Does anyone know where this piece of artwork presently sits today? In a well-guarded place. It's in the Louvre in Paris. Okay. King Francis I of France acquired the painting, and it's now the property of the French Republic. It's been in the Louvre since 1797. The painting's global fame and popularity stem from its 1911 theft by Vincenzo Perugia, who attributed his actions to Italian patriotism, a belief that the painting should belong to Italy. The theft and subsequent recovery in 1914 generated unprecedented publicity for the art theft, and there were movies. Nat King Cole had a song about the theft of the Mona Lisa. And this is one of the most valuable paintings in the world today. It holds the Guinness World Record for the highest known painting insurance valuation of $100 million in 1962. Today, or in 2021, it was the equivalent of $870 million in insurance, almost $1 billion of insurance. Again, I'm going to ask you to look closely at the picture. If you would, what do you see? And don't say it out loud, but just look over her right shoulder. Has anyone ever noticed this beautiful pool of water over her shoulder before? Has anyone ever noticed that before, yes or no? Okay, you've noticed it? One person here has noticed the beautiful. How about just over her right shoulder or her right side? Has anyone ever noticed the trail before? In the painting, you see it now, but have you noticed it before today? And then over the left, you'll see that the trail actually continues up the other side. Notice the rugged cliffside that's on the left. There's more that we could say about this. Have you ever noticed the positioning of her hands? Here's my whole point. You know, sometimes we don't give enough thought or focus to the great beauty of something that should be treasured. We look at this, I know what that is. My point this morning is, I think a lot of times that's the way, as born-again believers, that's the way that we treat God. We know who He is, we know a lot about Him, but we haven't really stopped and really thought about the beauty and the magnificence of who our Lord is and who God is. So if you would please, Romans in chapter number 2 this morning. I want you to think this morning about the goodness of God. Romans in chapter number 2. And I'll begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read just a few verses here this morning. Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgeth them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? And then it continues with the question, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Again, verse number 4, please. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Now, if I were to ask you the question, how many of us believe that God is good? When I was pastoring, we had this thing that we did, and I would say, God is good all the time. We know that statement, right? We believe, oh yeah, I know, Brother Lowry, I know that God is good. I want us just to take a few moments this morning, and I hope to challenge us. I hope that God would remind us what a privilege it is to serve Him. What a great thing it is to know God and to think that the God of all of heaven and earth wants to know us. You know, it's this time around, it's just my wife and I, and we were talking, I think, yesterday or the day before, and I told her, I said, one of the things that I've really enjoyed in this particular trip is the fact that it's just me and her, and we get to talk, and we just spend time together, and we've been married for 37 years this year, and I love her more today than I've ever loved her before. But spending the time together with her has just made me cherish her even more than I did yesterday. Does that make sense? The same thing is true if we'll learn to think about the fact that we have the privilege to know God. And think about the fact that He wants to spend time with you. Can I take you back to the Garden of Eden? When God had created Adam and Eve, God exemplified a desire to spend time with man and for man to spend time with Him. Remember that He came down in the cool of the day, right? And He walked with Adam and Eve. And they walked with God. So I want us just to spend some time this morning to think about the goodness of God. And we'll take just a couple minutes in a moment. I want you to think about it. How would you quickly identify the goodness of God? And we'll just maybe take a few real quick testimonies in just a few moments. But if we look in our text here, concentrating in verse number 4, it begins to ask this question. If we could put it this way, do you despisest thou the riches, you catch that? The riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. When the Bible speaks of God's goodness to us, it refers to His goodness in a couple of different areas. One we think about in a general sense, and then there's some specific things that are found in this particular verse that we're going to look at this morning. But the Bible tells us that God is good in His nature. As we would say, God is good, and all the time, God is good. That's just His nature. It's who He is. His very nature is to be good because He's righteous and holy altogether. And what He does that is good. Now, I want you to listen to some verses, and I'm just going to read them very quickly for sake of time. Psalm 52 and verse number 1. Why boastest thou thyself in thy mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. The goodness of God endureth continually. Psalm 25 and verse number 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore He will teach sinners in the way. Good and upright is the Lord. Psalm 34 verse 8, you probably know this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Psalm 100 verse 5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 106 and verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. For He is good. Would you just say that with me this morning? For He is good. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Because God is always good, we can know that whatever we face in life, God has a reason and a purpose for it. How many of us have ever had questions about life? How many of us have a lot of things happen in life that we don't understand? And we wish that we could understand it, right? But what we face in life, one of the things that we can always go back to is the fact that God is good all the time. Whether we see it as good, whether we deem it as good, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. We have the truth and the promises of God's character and who God is and the promises of the Word of God to know that regardless of what we might face, and whether we understand it or we don't understand it, it does not change the fact that God is good all the time. Doesn't change that. Even the bad things. How many of us have ever looked at something and said, well, that's bad? How many of us have ever gone through things and deemed it as being bad? We say, well, I had a bad experience. You ever gone to the restaurant and had a bad experience? I did not say that. Moving right along. You ever had something happen in life and go, that was a bad experience? We all understand that, don't we? We can all associate with that. But what we need to be reminded of is the goodness of God and that He's faithful. And while you and I make mistakes, God never makes a mistake. My dad was a pastor for many years, and I grew up saying I'd never be a preacher. Well, don't tell God never. That's a long story, but my dad was the greatest pastor I've ever known. And my daddy used to say this all the time. He said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever just occurred to God? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever just occurred to God? God in his omniscience and his omnipotence uses all things to work his plan, and he wants it to be for our good if we'll allow it. Wow. That's who God is. Anybody in here ever make bad decisions? The rest of you are liars. You know, we make bad decisions, but our Heavenly Father's disposition toward us, his desire toward us, is even when we make bad decisions, God wants to make it and work it out so that it'll still be used in our life for our good. Why? Because he loves us that much. Now, don't raise your hand on this one. Have you ever just wondered, well, you can raise your hand on this question. Have you ever just wondered, why does God love me? Now, don't answer this question. A lot of times we feel unlovely, and a lot of times we are unlovely. Scripture tells us that in Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even though we don't deserve his love, he still loves us anyway. That's the goodness of God. I hope this morning that we just kind of catch the idea of the goodness of God. Kind of take that deeper look, you know. Spend a little bit more time and realize the beauty, not of Mona Lisa, but just focus on the goodness of God and realize his beauty, his righteousness, his holiness, and take a deeper look at who God is, and realizing that his love is that deep. But let's go a little bit further. Look again at chapter 2 and verse number 4. Despisest thou? And by the way, I think that's a good question for us to ask ourselves. Am I guilty of having despised the riches of God, of the goodness of God? I think we've all been there, done that, yes? We've all been guilty. But let us not leave today being guilty of despising the goodness and the riches of the goodness of God. It goes further. Notice what it says, and forbearance and long-suffering. Are we grateful for his goodness toward us, or do we take it for granted, or maybe even despise it in the sense because we don't regard it, we don't think about it, we haven't contemplated the goodness of God? And Paul begins to kind of give us this short list. We see the general goodness of God. I want you just to kind of think about it. God's goodness is shown to us in his creation. The sun to keep us warm and to light our way. Animals and plants for food. And yes, I said animals and plants for food. Salad is what food eats. He gives us rain and sunshine to make the crops grow. He made us with hands that we can grip things and we can do our work. Legs on which we can walk. Eyes in which with which we can see. And we listen to the way that God has created us. We were to take time and go over to Psalm 139 and realize that before we were ever born, he formed us in our mother's womb, and what a great creator that we have. And it shows and reveals to us his goodness toward us. His kindness and his goodness is not only shown in creation, but it's also shown in the way that he deals with us on a day-to-day basis, much of which I've already talked about. He didn't just create us and then sit back and watch how everything's going to play out, but no, God is involved. God is involved in our lives every single day. Amen. Every single day. So that I don't forget, we're getting ready to walk into the motel last night, and there's a lady that was walking out. Her name is Jennifer, and she had a little dog, and that's what caught my wife's attention. She's missing our dog back in Croatia, so she's loving on. The dog's name is Pocket. Because when it When it was born, her husband surprised her by bringing it in his coat pocket. And so the name just stuck, and the dog's real tiny, and Connie is playing with the dog and petting the dog, and we got to talking to Jennifer. She said she passes by Bethel Baptist Church on a regular basis, or at least she used to, because they just lived right down the road. I want you to pray for Jennifer, and I'm hoping that Pastor and Mrs. Sutton can go and talk with her again. She's Catholic background. Their house burned to the ground. And they, on the 6th of this month, so they've been in the motel trying to find something else. She said the only thing they got out with were their pajamas and their dog. They didn't have nothing else other than that. And so we tried to witness to her a little bit. You pray for Jennifer. And, you know, I thought about that this morning, and I tried to get more information, but the hotel really can't tell us much other than we'll pass your information along to her. And so we ask them again to do that, even though we gave her one of our prayer cards and told her she can reach out and talk to us anytime she has questions. But, you know, I thought about that. Here we are, we're getting ready to go into the motel, but you know what? Nothing happens by chance.
Amen.
Nothing happens by chance. Let me just show you a little bit of a deeper picture of that. My wife's telling her, says, yeah, I miss my dog. Our dog's at home. Oh, really? Well, where do you live? We live in Croatia. Really? I've been to Croatia before, Jennifer says. You see? Don't miss that. God brought us passing like this at the same time. He gave us common ground to be able to talk to this lady. And so she knew. She began to identify and talk about different cities where she went to. And she says, hey, I really want to come back sometime. And so we told her, said, will you come back? We'll take you to dinner. And we'd love to have you come and visit us in Zagreb. And so we got to talk to her. But she's pretty close to the gospel right now. But you know what? Her mind is open because of what happened. See, God doesn't do anything by mistake.
Amen.
Don't miss that. God uses even the little things in life are big to Him. You understand what I'm trying to say? That God in His omnipotence and His omniscience, and He works all things together for good, even what we deem as insignificant or small things in life, and that God has this plan, and He's involved in our lives, even in the small things, and all the events of history, God has been in control. You realize that God has never lost control for a moment.
Amen.
We were talking about this at dinner last night with Pastor and Mrs. Sutton. You know, it's like the last 6 years, there's been quite a few times we're like, I'm sure glad we live in Croatia. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, look at America has lost its ever-loving mind in the last 6 years. But God's not lost control. But see, that's where we need to understand who He is. Take another look at the depths of His beauty and His riches. And I'm not talking about, I'm using this as an illustration. But take a closer look this morning at His beauty and His riches, because that helps us to learn to trust Him more. When we realize who God is, and we love Him for who He is more, it helps us to trust Him more in the times that are hard to trust Him. Is it? Surely I'm not the only one here this morning. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've had a hard time trusting God? Brother Lowry, how can God allow all this to happen to America, a country that was founded upon biblical principles? How can God allow this to happen? Because His ways are not our ways, and His ways are far past finding out. But that does not change the fact that God has a plan in place. And we know, I've read the back of the book and I know who wins. Amen? Yeah. We know that God has a plan in it all. So do you acknowledge His goodness in the hand of providence? Think about this, and all that you have achieved and all that you possess is from the hand and the goodness of God. What time do I need to be finished, preacher? I'll get two bells. So I stop at the second bell? Okay. The story is told of a man who went out to his garden and planted a watermelon seed, but then did nothing to make it grow. In fact, after he planted the seed, he did not return to his garden for many weeks. He did not water it, he did not fertilize it, he did not weed the area around it. But another man decided to come along each evening and water the seed. He would fertilize it regularly and keep the weeds away. Weeks later, the man who had planted the seed comes back to his garden and sees the largest watermelon that he's ever seen before. He decided it was so big he would take it to the state fair, and he received the first prize for the record-setting watermelon. The second man sees him at the fair and asks him, "How did you grow such a big watermelon?" To which the man replied, "It was his great skill at gardening." You know, we laugh at a story like that, but that story, that man in the story, is a lot like us. God is so good to us, and yet we take all the glory. And we forget to recognize the goodness of God. But God's goodness and kindness toward us is not only in creation and in providence and in a general sense, but let's look at these other aspects in verse number 4. The riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. You see, we talked a lot about the physical, but what about the spiritual side of things, his forbearance and long-suffering? I don't know about you, but I'm pretty stupid sometimes. I sure am thankful for the forbearance and long-suffering of God. Amen. Amen? Now, right there, that's somewhere where even Baptists can say amen right there. Amen. I'm thankful for the forbearance and long-suffering of God. Because I know who I am. You think for a minute about who you are. I'm not trying to beat us up this morning, but let's think about how unlovely we are a lot of the time. And yet, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I'm glad that those two words are still in my Bible.
Amen.
His only begotten Son. That whosoever, even me, his forbearance and long-suffering. There's so many people in the world. Here we are, we're sitting in America. I think we came down a road, and I said, look at that. Help me remember it for sure. There's a road sign, and it said, religious freedom. Yeah, right. It's just not far from here. Yeah. There's a road sign that marks that fact. You ever thought about what would have been like if you were born in China? But we live in America. You live in America. We don't. You live in America. You had an opportunity today that you could come to church, not have to meet privately, and not have to worry about the militia coming in and hauling you off somewhere. Come on. You understand what I'm saying? We didn't have to meet in some underground house somewhere today to be able to have a Bible and to talk about the things of God. But there's people that have already met in churches around the world today, and they met in the fear of their life to name the name of Jesus. We have the chance that we can come together in America, and you can meet on a regular basis and have cushioned pews and air-conditioned buildings with lights. And the privileges that we have, and that so many times take it for granted. Croatia, part of the former communist Yugoslavia. You'll see it or hear it later this afternoon in our video. But think about this. Decades of communism and centuries of Catholicism. And the people of Croatia, now, you know, they equate anything with God or the Bible or church with the Catholic Church, and they don't want any of it. They just don't want any of it. What a great privilege we have in America And realize you get to come to church on a regular basis and hear the Word of God proclaimed on a regular basis. And yet there's some people in the world that have never heard the name of Jesus. In our video this afternoon, you'll meet Dunya. Dunya is a little lady that came to our a Bible crusade. She received a flyer, an invitation to come to our crusade. She knew that if she came to the crusade, she would receive a free Bible. So she came to the crusade. We gave her a free Bible. She decided she'd start coming to the Bible studies after the crusade. She came to the Bible studies. She met, my mind just went blank. She met Yasmina at the Bible study, who was also visiting the Bible study. They both started coming to church. Dunya received Christ as her Savior, followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. She was 70 years old. She said, before this, I didn't even know if there was a God. And I've never owned a Bible in my life. 70. She's 74 now. Think about that, and then think about the goodness of God to allow you to be born in America, to hear the Word of God proclaimed on a regular basis. And how many of you have more than one Bible? So let's not lose sight of those kind of things in thinking about the goodness of God. But again, Paul mentions to us here the forbearance and the tolerance. Now listen, don't be mistaken. Just because God tolerates our sin doesn't mean He excuses our sin.
Amen.
We all understand that, right? But I am thankful for His forbearance and His long-suffering towards our ignorance. He may tolerate it, but He does not excuse or accept our sin. That's why His Son died for us. But how long will He tolerate it? How long will there be a lack of... how long will He regard or tolerate our lack of regard for Him, rather? God's tolerance is shown towards mankind after Adam and Eve sinned. Were there immediate consequences? Yes. But it was a long time before He destroyed the world with a flood after sin began. He was tolerant with man's sins for many years, even though the Scripture says the inclination of man's heart was only evil continually. But there came a point when He was no longer tolerant. The nation of Israel is an example in the Old Testament, again, about the goodness of God. I want to ask you to kind of think about something. Would you keep a dog that would not follow you, but always instead growled at you and tried to bite you? Would you keep that dog? You would either get rid of the dog or you would have it put to sleep. Right? But how many times do we have that response toward God? God's trying to lead us. He's trying to give direction to us in our life. It's for our good. And yet we growl back at God. We pull the leash the other direction because we don't want to go the way that God's leading us. It's kind of quiet. But again, I'm thankful for God's forbearance and His long-suffering. He's patient with us. How many of us have ever just done something really dumb? Again, if you're not raising your hand right now, you're a liar. I'm thankful that He's long-suffering and patient with us. Any of us ever, how many of you have ever lost your patience with someone else? Think about that. In our foolishness, we know that there's times when He chastens us, but why does He chasten us? Why does He chasten us, preacher?
Straighten up.
So that we'll straighten up. Why does He want that for us? Because He loves us. A father that loves his son chastens him betimes. He chastens us because He loves us. You ever thought about this? There is nothing that you can ever do ever do to keep God from loving you? Wow. See, when you start looking at it, you start seeing some things that you didn't realize or you didn't see before. Some things that you didn't think about before. You just have to stop long enough, we would say, and smell the coffee or smell the roses. But I just want us to stop long enough this morning to really kind of begin to think about the beautiful fragrance that comes from our Heavenly Father. How much He loves us, how He's long-suffering, how He's kind and gracious to us. I mean, if He wasn't long-suffering, He would just get angry and pour His wrath out. Now, that day's coming. That day is coming. But I sure am thankful that God is staying His hand for the moment. That means that there's more hope for America. That means there's more hope for the world. That means there's more hope for our lost loved ones. I'm thankful for His patience and that He's staying His hand of judgment upon this world. And I don't know, we don't know how much longer that's going to happen, do we? We don't know when God is going to have enough, per se. But verse 4 tells us why He is so patient with us. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, because He's still desiring for us to see His goodness, that it might lead people to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9, you know this verse. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's patient enough to give people an opportunity to repent and to return, to come to Him. This is free. It's extra. It won't cost anything extra this morning, okay? This is a practical aspect of application to this morning and to this passage in particular. How many of you have ever been discouraged before? Here's a challenge for you. How many of you remember, ladies, how many of you ladies still have a recipe box? We're right on track. You have that little recipe box, you know, you got the recipe cards on the inside. I want to challenge you to begin a different box, okay? Especially if you struggle with discouragement or depression, this is a great practical practice that you can do. Take a card, an index card. On the top of the index card, write your name in big letters across the top. On each card, you write the day of today's date. Okay, today is the 16th. I wanted to say the 15th, and I knew that wasn't right. Today is the 16th. So you write today's date. And then you write down three things that you can visibly see with your eye to give God thanks for. Okay? You say, well, what's that do? Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to what? To repentance. Now, we understand the word repentance, but in the very basic, simple form, what does it mean? It means to turn and go in the opposite direction. So if you're depressed and discouraged, guess what? You begin to recognize the goodness of God. You get your eyes on the goodness of God. You get your eyes all off of how bad things are. Start recognizing the goodness of God. You'll turn and start going in the opposite direction. You won't continue. I'm not saying that you won't continue to struggle, but you won't stay or continue going downward, because you're going to be looking and recognizing three things that I can give God thanks for every day. And then you know what you do? The next day, you pull up yesterday's card and you read it. You're reminded of the goodness of God. And then the next day, you write down again. And you know what happens then? About a week or 2 weeks later, you can go back through and be reminded of all the things that is the goodness of God in your life. I'll close with another illustration. Unlike other countries where you have to pay as you go toll system on major roads, Switzerland expects drivers to use its auto route system to pay an annual fee of 40 Swiss francs. When you pay, you get a windshield sticker that you display for the rest of the year. Traditionally, traffic police give motorists the whole month of January to purchase the sticker. And there's no penalty for driving without it during that month. It's a month of grace. There's no penalty for driving without it during that month because it's a month of grace. But when the first days of February come, expect to see the traffic police on the auto route exit ramps checking for cars without the sticker. Because then there's no more excuses that are accepted and no more time is given. The grace period has ended. Does that make sense? You follow the illustration? But God's grace is sufficient for all things. And every day that God gives us another day, He gives us more grace. But there is coming a day. So decide today to begin recognizing the goodness of God. And take a little bit more time as you read your scripture to look a little bit deeper at the pictures that are given to us in scripture about who God is and about His goodness and recognize His beauty. Oh, and He's far more valuable. Far more valuable than she is. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for just reminding me this week of your goodness, your grace, your long-suffering kindness toward us. Lord, I pray that we'd not take it for granted. I pray that you'd help us to be mindful. And thank you for our time together. Pray that you bless in the service to come. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.